Moncrief on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
Now, even though we are sort of headed into the autumn, that doesn't mean all the insects are gone. You may have noticed an increase in spiders around your home, but why is our first urge to kill them? Professor Geoffrey Lockwood is the author of The Infested Mind, Why Humans Fear, Loathe and Love Insects, and he joins us now in News Talk. Afternoon, Geoffrey.
Well, it's morning here, but good afternoon.
You are an entomologist, obviously. I'm pointing out the obvious there, but you have had a period where you had a fear of insects.
I did. It was somewhat surprising to me, having worked with them for many years. I found myself in the middle of a grasshopper outbreak, and had a very strong and immediate fear reaction. So I became sympathetic to people who have that kind of a response, and decided to look into it for myself and for others.
And when you were in the midst of a grasshopper pandemic, does that mean you were absolutely engulfed in grasshoppers?
Oh yes, I was out on the prairie in Wyoming and had descended into a draw or kind of a dry riverbed, and so the walls of the draw were higher than my head, and the green grass in the bottom. It was the only green grass on the prairie at that time. Probably had somewhere around 100 grasshoppers per square meter. And so when they started jumping, they were pelting my body, crawling into my clothing, grabbing onto my hair, hanging from me. And it was just like being immersed in, well, if anyone has ever watched Alfred Hitchcock's The Birds, This was the six-legged version of The Birds.
My, how long did that go on for?
Only for a few minutes before I had this sort of full-blown panic reaction and climbed panicked out of there, heart beating, breathing hard. And surprise, I mean, I had worked with grasshoppers for years. I had just never encountered them in such invasive numbers, crawling all over me and whatnot. It was very unexpected, very strange, and it lingered. It stayed with me. So yeah.
Now, if a rodent of some sort crawls into your home, a lot of people might go, well, that's a sentient being. I'd rather avoid killing it if I could. If you see a spider, a lot of people just step on them like it's not a sentient being. Why do we have that difference in values towards those two sorts of animals?
Yeah, well, and I like that you call them. It's funny because people often refer to insects and animals as if insects aren't animals. And of course, they are. I think it's because they're just so different than us. They have all of these legs. They have all of the, well, in spiders, they have all of these eyes. They skitter, they scamper. And so we, at one level, we understand that they're fellow creatures, but at another level, they're just alien. And we find crushing them. Well, why would we cook a meal by dropping a crab or a lobster into boiling water, but we wouldn't do the same with a chicken or a pig?
Yes, well, indeed. Though I mean, that particular practice is becoming increasingly controversial.
Yes.
A lot of people have an innate kind of ick reaction to many insects and probably to most spiders as well. Why is that? Is that some evolutionary trait?
Well, I think it is. And insects and spiders do a good job of pressing these sort of evolutionary buttons that we have. And the expression that I like in referring to them when we encounter them is squeal or meal. That was probably the two responses that we had in our evolutionary past. Mm-hmm. The squeal comes from the fact that they can hurt us. The meal comes from the fact that they were often an important source of food for humans and still are in many cultures. And so evolution has primed us to pay attention to them. Then culture comes in and tells us whether we should be perceiving them as squeal or meal. And of course, in modern technological society, all of them were trained to generate an aversion. And so we fear, we experience fear or disgust. Both of those aversive emotions are expressed with regard to insects and spiders.
And I suppose also in an age when we keep our homes so spotlessly clean, then spiders can just still wreck that. We can't really control that. So there's something slightly scary about that.
Oh, you're absolutely right. I mean, culturally, what spiders and maybe cockroaches and things like that do is they have these, what I call them the five qualities, right? They can invade our body and home. They can evade. Boy, they skitter and scamper and crawl under the refrigerator. They can harm us. They can defy us, right? They don't obey our will or our control. And the fifth one is this kind of alien otherness. And you put those five cultural properties together with our evolutionary tendency to pay attention to them, and you've got the formula for a squashed spider.
Do spiders, can they make sound?
There's a few I understand that make sounds that we don't hear. They do some tapping and sort of those sorts of motions. But the spiders aren't the sort of creatures that communicate by sound. And maybe that also contributes to our ability to see them as other, because they're silent.
Yeah, indeed. Jeffrey, thank you so much for speaking with us today. And a lot of people texting in to say that you can get spider catchers. It doesn't harm the spider, and then you can let them off.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.